1450 FM 99.3 KNSI. Welcome to Your Health, Dr. J. Sheree Allen in studio with us. Dr. Allen, great to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, today we're going to talk about depression. Depression is huge. It is very, very common, unfortunately, isn't it?
Absolutely. Very common. Actually, this disorder affects over 300 million people worldwide, are the newest statistics from the World Health Organization.
Well, we're going to talk about depression, how to tell if we have it, how to tell if our friends or family may be suffering from depression. We'll talk about treatment options, different types of depression, and perhaps most importantly, the stigma that surrounds depression, right?
That's a big one.
All right. So question number one would be, what is depression?
So depression. All right. It's just this feeling of being really sad, really blue, even hopeless, losing interest in things you once loved. And that feeling persists for more than 2 weeks. So you could have a bad day. You could have a bad couple of days, right? But if this feeling is overwhelming your ability to function otherwise and lasts more than 2 weeks, I think we've got to consider a diagnosis of depression.
All right. Sad and blue, like you said, it has to last more than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, Dr. Allen, more than 300 million people worldwide are affected. What are our causes of depression?
Oh, there's so many, right? Well, medical illnesses are definitely one, and we see this a lot. So a major change in your health causes sort of this onset of, why am I not able to do the things I once was, right? Having a stroke, having a heart attack.
Okay.
Those things alter your quality of life drastically. And so we see a lot of people coming in with that. Giving birth, believe it or not, you know, it's promoted.
Postpartum depression,
postpartum depression, absolutely. Giving birth is just, I mean, all over social media, you see the beautiful baby pics, but I think we lose out on some of the realities of how difficult that transition can be for new mothers. And so that's a big one. There's some medications, alcohol, drug use, and just stressors that you can't control in your life. You know, losing a job, divorce, even marriage. I mean, big transitions.
How about lack of sleep?
Oh, that doesn't help. That absolutely does not help the cause at all. You know, but I remember I said this needs to go on for more than 2 weeks. You know, maybe you just aren't eating well for a short period, or you're really busy. You have a huge project at work and you're getting less sleep than you typically do. That will get better once you readjust your routine, right? I'm talking something that's persistent here, and you think you need to get a little extra help to figure out if that's really what it is.
Well, you mentioned postpartum. Does that affect husbands as well as wives?
I have to get back to you on that one. That's actually a really good question.
Well, I know that having experienced childbirth, not myself, but being there, right? Leading up to all of that, those stressors and you know, they talk about sympathetic pains and all of that kind of stuff. It only would seem natural to me that the husband may also, I don't want to say enjoy, but maybe affected by some postpartum, certainly dealing with his wife, correct?
Oh, well, yeah. So this is really interesting, actually. I think we focus so much, especially in our society, on the women, the mothers, right, who give birth and who typically are the ones who take that maternal leave and are at home with the child.
Right.
But I think now moving forward, you know, we have more men taking paternity leave and spending more time at home. Some dads are stay-at-home dads now. So definitely, I think this is something to look more into. I haven't seen it in my practice, though.
Well, I know. Is there such a thing as antidepression when you're extremely happy? Because that was the happiest time of my life when my babies were, you know, being born and growing up and all that stuff. I miss them terribly now. I'm kind of depressed about that.
Oh, no.
So it brings to mind a question there. You had mentioned if it is a longer time of being bummed out, okay? How bad does someone feel? Is it tears? Is it just general malaise, lack of energy? How do we know?
So this varies per person, right? That's why it's really important that if you think you're struggling, it's okay to come and see us at the clinic. And we're more than happy to discuss this with you. But some of the general things you'll see, someone crying for reasons they can't explain. Someone who just loses, you know, the care they once had for things that were precious to them, loses interest in things they once had an interest in. They feel hopeless like things won't get better. They're constantly worrying, some of those sorts of things. And it spans the spectrum, even to wanting to hurt yourself or feeling you'd be better off dead, you know? So really, it's a spectrum. And we encourage you, no matter how, where you think you fall on that spectrum, to come and see us, come and talk to us about it.
Right. There's no such thing as a bad question, particularly about this, right?
Absolutely not, especially not for something this common. You know, and one thing to mention too, the WHO actually just stated depression is now the leading cause of disability worldwide. So that should give you an idea of how common this really is.
Dr. J. Cherie Allen is our guest. I want to follow up on that. When you talk about disability, right, does that mean I'm frozen in place? I can't move? It's like I'm looking at something. We talked about this before we came on the air. For me, I understand, you know, procrastination, putting stuff off, but there have been times in my life when I literally know I need to do this, but I just sit there and look at it.
So I think that's a start, but it goes a step beyond that, right? You are unable to carry out the functions of your life. You're not getting up and showing up for work. And if you are showing up for work, you're not performing at a high level there. You get home and you just get in the bed, you get under the sheets, you can't mentally wrap your mind around doing anything else. So the function that you once had in your life, that has faltered.
All right. Talking about sleep just a moment ago. How about sleep and depression? Does that make me want to sleep more?
Some people actually do sleep more, and some suffer from insomnia.
Really?
So it spans the gamut.
You know, I could see the sleeping more part because you would be hiding from problems then, right?
But then sometimes your mind is racing so much, you have so much going on that you just can't settle down, you can't relax, you can't stop worrying and just get a good night's sleep too.
How can depression affect my partner?
Oh, I think this is a conversation we need to definitely explore more in the clinical setting. Okay. We're so accustomed to talking to just the patient and not the surrounding people in their lives.
Right.
If you have changed, some of these things have changed, right? The things we talked about, you're nervous, you're restless, you're tired or not sleeping, you have less energy, you don't really care as much about your life. The people who are closest to you feel that burden too, right? If your work life is affected, if you're not participating as much in your home life, this even affects your sex drive. I mean, this can impact your partner in so many different ways. Another reason why it's worth seeking treatment.
Absolutely. Dr. J. Cherie Allen, our guest. My friends, we are talking about depression. We are talking about your health. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Dr. J. Cherie Allen, our guest. Today, we are talking about depression, and I say today because you are going to be back a lot with us talking about a variety of topics.
Yes, yes.
One of the things that we are just getting through, winter, right?
Winter.
Seasonal affective disorder, SAD, it's very, very real.
It's a thing. Yep. It is actually a thing. So this is, you'll have some patients that come in and say, oh, I just feel sad during the late fall and this winter, and I just feel so down and I can't snap out of it.
Okay.
Is something wrong with me? And I explain this to them. It's actually a thing, and it's related to the lack of sunlight that we have during those months.
Hmm. Yeah. Vitamin D, will that help that or no?
I mean, we live in Minnesota. Vitamin D is good stuff.
We have the Vikings. I mean, what else could depress us, right?
Yeah, but actually light therapy, believe it or not, getting more exposure to light is honestly the best way to help this.
So those light boxes, right? Mm-hmm. You can rent them.
You can buy them on Amazon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are worth purchasing.
They are. If this is your deal, right?
Yeah.
Remember, talk to your doctor. There could be other things going on, right? Maybe your issues with your metabolism or, you know, so talk to your doctor. But if you guys together decide this is what's going on, that light box is worth it.
Do I need any type of medication for that?
So it depends, right? The way we actually diagnose depression in the clinical setting is with a test called a PHQ-9.
Okay.
And so I know most people will probably see this. A couple of the questions we'll ask are, what's your interest in, like, things you once loved or things you found pleasurable at some point. And it's a scale. It's a rating scale. And you can go across in circles 0, 1, 2, 3. We tally the numbers at the end. But it's like feeling down or depressed, trouble with the sleep, like we talked about, energy, appetite. Mm-hmm. You didn't bring that one up, but poor eating or overeating. That's a big thing. Feeling bad about yourself, trouble concentrating, moving slowly, and then thoughts of harming yourself. And we tally those numbers. 0 to 4 is what we would consider minimal depression. Mild would be 5 to 9, moderate 10 to 14. And then we get into the severe range. Once your score goes above 9, we believe medication would be in your best interest.
What does antidepressant medication do to someone?
Yes.
How does that help?
They help. So depression is multifactorial, right?
Okay,
so
right.
We talked a little about some of the external issues or some of the stressors that could bring that about. But also we think there is definitely a chemical component related to imbalances in some of your hormones in the brain. And so the medications we provide actually work on that. So some of the common ones I think people recognize are like Zoloft. I think
Sure. That's
a really common brand out there, or Prozac,
right,
or Effexor. Yeah. So they're in a class of medications called selective serotonin receptor inhibitors. And so through some complex mechanisms, they're actually able to help.
All right. Depression, typically when we talk about clinical depression, is that what goes on inside the brain?
So it's putting the entire picture together.
Okay.
So what happens in the brain, yes, but also these issues that we talked about in the PHQ-9. If
right.
you're checking, you know, 2s and 3s on the majority of those things, yes. So putting the entire picture together is what would then consider you clinically depressed.
All right. We are going to now turn to treatment options for depression.
Yeah.
I am thinking one of the best things people can do: get outside and walk, do some exercise, blow off that steam.
That helps. That absolutely helps, right? So you'll find, especially I'm a family medicine physician, and so one of the ways we like to approach many of your medical conditions is lifestyle interventions,
okay,
right? Things that we can do naturally to help us. Getting outside really helps. Exercising really helps. And that can come in different forms for different people. Yoga, I mean, is highly praised, especially when it comes to depression. Walking, just simply walking, is okay too. Signing up for some of these 5Ks and just walking them, you know, having that camaraderie, seeing all those other people coming out with a common goal, that helps too, right? Other things like journaling and reflective writing, I think, to get some of those thoughts out of your head and down on paper, I think really helps too.
Doc, it would seem to me that if we were to be more mindful of what is going on, does mindfulness become a part of this?
Oh, I'm the queen of mindfulness. You do. You know, CentraCare, we actually have a program for employees called My Best Begins With Me. And one of the things they talk about is be here now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just taking your mind from all these different places where it's wandering and come to this present moment. What can I do here at this moment? What am I feeling? What am I experiencing? And put that into perspective. I really think that's awesome.
Do you find sometimes in speaking with your patients that you just ask them to take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
Let's step back. Let's reorganize. Let's reprioritize.
Absolutely.
And then come see me again in a week.
Absolutely. Even, you know, yoga. So in medical school and residency, my stress levels were high.
I'm
so
sure.
I actually practiced yoga. And we talk about cleansing breaths in yoga,
right,
and it's a real thing, you know. But sometimes I will say there are patients who, that week or, you know, those suggestions, those lifestyle interventions, they're great suggestions, but they're not enough and they're not going to cut it. And so that's when we recommend therapy.
Okay.
Absolutely recommend therapy with a trained social worker or psychologist who's able to help you deconstruct some of these issues taking place and contributing to this depression.
Now, I know that we are going to talk about stigma and all of that in our final segment here, but I imagine someone going through these things, deep breathing, you know, maybe they're on some medication, they're out there working out, they're journaling, whatever, and things start improving,
mm-hmm,
right? So I sit down, I talk with you or another healthcare provider, and, you know, I'd like to revisit the whole thing about medication. Is it possible that you can come off medication?
Absolutely. Depression can go into remission. It can. And you absolutely can get off the medications. So I actually have a funny little way I describe depression to all my patients. That's okay with you. So I always talk about driving down 94 and you're in blizzard conditions, a lot of which we've had this year.
Right.
And you end up in the ditch. No matter how much you want to like press that gas, like you're not getting out of that ditch. You need to call in the troops. You need to get some help.
Right.
And that means the ambulance might show up. You call your insurance company to figure out what to do. The tow truck is going to have to come to get you out, right? That doesn't mean you won't ever drive again. That doesn't ever mean the sun won't shine and you won't be on 94 with a beautiful weather again, right?
Yes.
It just means at this moment, we're in a ditch and we need some help. And that's what therapy is. That's what medications are. And it's okay. We'll get to the point where you can drive all on your own and you don't need us again.
And you can stay out of the ditch.
Absolutely.
Right? AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. Dr. J. Cherie Allen is our guest. We are talking about depression. Like we promised, we are going to talk about stigma and the list will go on. Your health on KNSI. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI, back with Dr. J. Cherie Allen. Folks, we're talking about depression, and it is very, very important that you understand the stigma that is also attached to depression. Why do we have this stigma?
I think for multiple reasons. So one, I think we tend to experience these feelings in isolation, and we keep them to ourselves. So we think we're weak. We're not strong enough. We're not living up to the expectations of our friends and family. We're not following through with the image that's projected of who we are supposed to be. And that makes it very hard to get help, to have that moment of vulnerability and say, I'm not okay. And mentally, I'm not okay. So I think that's one. Culturally, I think, too, just talking about your feelings and these, you know, conversations about not being well and not being happy aren't encouraged in some families. But I think as a society, we are making some headway. And I think this will get better when we do things like this. We have conversations like this. You never believe the people who come and see me. I mean, well put together, extremely successful people who you would admire from the outside just sit and start breaking down. I mean, families that sit and start breaking down. That's kind of one of our privileges as physicians, which we don't take lightly,
right,
that we get this insider view. So I'm here to tell people you are not alone in these feelings.
We see all of these superstars that literally have the world, but yet they've got problems just like everybody else.
They do. They absolutely do. And with that, be careful of social media too, not just celebrities, but your neighbor and your friends from school with these perfect lives on Instagram.
Do you know anybody that has a perfect life? They may think they do.
I absolutely do not.
Or they want to pretend that they do, right?
They'll pretend that they do. But it's up to you to know. They don't post fights on their Instagram.
Exactly. What do we need to know about taking care of depression, whether it's ourselves, a loved one, what have you?
So a few things I can recommend. One, try to take care of your body, right? So eating healthy, sleeping well, speaking to people, whether friends, family, or seeking help from a medical professional if you need one. I'm from New York City. We have a little subway tagline that says, if you see something, say something.
Right.
If someone's hurting, someone in your life isn't the same, bring it up. They probably are just waiting for someone to approach them.
It's very hard. How do we even know what to ask?
Say, are you okay? And they're going to probably say,
yeah.
Yes.
How do you feel? Fine.
I'm fine. Fine is the typical answer.
Right.
And say, I don't think you look fine. Are you sure? And don't let up. Don't let up. If you know that person and you know something is wrong, you could get to them.
Shouldn't there be a certain amount, a certain level of friendship, I would think?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to have to disagree with that one.
You are the professional after all. Feel free.
No, but this isn't even my professional advice. This is just advice from J. Cherie.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people just want, we don't say hi enough. We don't hug people enough. We aren't friendly. We're living in this world of like this digital age and, you know, you speak to people more on their Facebook walls than you do in person. Like, strike up a conversation.
One of my favorite stories is to talk about what we used to do as a society. We would walk down the street. Mm-hmm. We would speak to Mrs. Johnson. As we walked past her, she'd be sitting out on the porch, right? Mm-hmm. The kids knew everybody. Parents knew everybody. Now, these days, you drive home. Mm-hmm. You hit the remote button to raise the garage door about a half a block away. Car goes in the garage. Door goes down. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't know your neighbors. You don't know anything about the world in which you live.
Yes.
I think that's pretty important. We have to be part of something, don't we?
You do. There's nothing that will ever replace the human connection.
All right. I go see my doctor. I'm doing better, doc. Mm-hmm. So how long does the process take? We want to know when we can be cured, doc.
And I would probably be a millionaire if I could predict all
right.
of that.
Everyone's different.
Everyone is different. The circumstances are very different. Oh. So that's why it's really important to work closely with your doctor to individualize this process for you.
Now, this PHQ-9, mm-hmm. it's a pretty recognizable test, right? I mean,
absolutely.
We go to the doctor, you're always given that P9, aren't you?
Yes.
Or PHQ-9, I should
yes,
say?
Yes, you are. You absolutely are. It's a standardized tool
right.
that we use in the medical field. There are a few other tools as well, but this is the one that's most commonly used okay. throughout the center care system.
Bottom line, if you think there's a problem, talk to a doctor.
Come see us. We are more than happy to help.
It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Dr. J. Cherie Allen talking about depression. Get more information, folks. Go to centracare.com. AM 1450, FM 99.3, KNSI. You have been listening to Your Health.